session. We're going to get the show on the road. And we're going to move forward with public hearings. We're going to do item 12A and B, starting off with Community Development Planning Department. Public hearing to consider resolution approving rescission of the entry of existing Williamson Ave contract. Bernadette.
And then, Chair, I have to recuse myself.
Absolutely. Step outside and tell somebody you have to get in here. I'm on a mission here. I got to get to Sacramento, so. I'm not waiting for anyone, Bernadette. I don't wait for myself. I don't wait for my wife. I don't wait for my mom. Keep going.
I better hurry then. Okay.
No hurry, please. It just.
Bernadette is an assistant planner. We have the Accord Williamson Act contract rescission and reentry proposal. The property owners have submitted an application which requests to rescind their 511 acres from the existing Williamson Act contract, which is currently has multiple property owners under it. When they purchased the property, they were advised that they needed to have their own contract, so that's what prompted their application. This project does not propose to increase or decrease the number of acres currently in the agricultural reserve. Staff would recommend that the board adopt the attached resolution approving the rescission and reentry and determine the project exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act pursuant to CEQA guidelines section 15317, open space easements or contracts.
Thank you. Any correspondence?
None at the clerk's level.
No reports, arguments by anything else? Seeing none. No proponents? Any proponents here for this?
Showing none online.
Thank you. No opponents. Public comment?
Showing none online.
So I can skip the rebuttal, so I don't see any of that. Do we close the hearing on this?
These are resolutions. Yes, we can close.
Okay, close the hearing. Any discussion by the board? Take a motion?
I make the recommended motion.
Second.
Wendy.
Hang on. So Supervisor Haupt is temporarily absent.
Tell me we only need three to get this through.
True. Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Chris Recuse. So Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes. Okay. Moving on to the next item. Thank you.
Okay, so this is another Williamson Act contract rescission and reentry. Shasta Valley Holdings proposes to rescind all of their property from the existing Williamson Act contracts, and also being as the property is under two separate agricultural preserves, we would amend those two ag preserves to remove that property, create a new ag preserve consisting only of the Shasta Valley Holdings, 960 acres, and issue them a new contract consisting of that 960 acres. Staff would recommend adopting the two resolutions approving the rescission and reentry of the contracts and the amendment to the agricultural reserves and determine the project exempt from California Environmental Quality Act pursuant to CEQA guidelines sections 15317, open space easements and contracts.
Thank you. Any correspondence?
None at the clerk's level.
So I'm seeing no reports, arguments, or evidence by anything else. Proponent?
Showing none online.
Opponents? Public comment?
Showing none online.
No rebuttals? Get to close the hearing?
Correct.
Any discussion by the board? Take a motion.
Recommended motion.
Second.
Motion, second. You know what to do.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopseff.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Okay, to the chair.
Yep.
I don't know if Mr. Dowse is still here for the.
He left.
No, he's still there. I think he's here for the Shasta Valley Resource still, or no?
The
we
appointment?
Can take it up. It's a quick
I'm going back to the regular schedule.
Okay.
All right. I don't want, you know, start getting into this mix around and. Let's get back to item 7, Auditor Controller Report.
Good morning. My name is Diane. I'm the Auditor Controller for Siskiyou County. I appreciate the opportunity to come and give you guys an update on how our department is doing. It's been a tough year. It's been really rewarding, though. I think I'm most proud of my staff. I can say that we're fully staffed. We have a couple we have a couple vacancies because we kind of reorganized and we created some management positions and made some career paths within the office. So, you know, hopefully that we can retain, you know, our trained staff. Like I said, we added two management positions. We added a payroll manager to kind of handle the beast of payroll of the public sector. And then we added a supervising accountant auditor to kind of supervise the higher level state reporting and just critical things that come up, you know, that we don't have our eye on yet. So that's been really good. We're working with personnel and Angela right now to get our accountant specialist. I know that my predecessor got rid of the fiscal tech 1-2-3 and just put in an accountant specialist. Now we're trying to add account specialist 1-2-3, so there is a career path, so they have, you know, we don't lose them to other departments, and we have a mechanism to move them up. We just had a conversation too, which I'm kind of excited about. This is adding another fiscal tech 1-2-3 position, but making it a training position for the rest of the county. So we'll hire and get a person in there and kind of, you know, get them exposed to payroll, get them exposed to contracts, the ASR process, accounts payable, accounts receivable, that kind of stuff. And then in the light that another department is in need, they can, like, we can loan them out for maybe 3 months and see if they're a good fit, and then they can hire them and we'll get somebody else in there to train. Also, like right now, we're working with the sheriffs. Sheriff LaRue, he's got an ASM going out and he's got a fiscal tech going out, and they're both going to be out for a month. And so we're going to step in and kind of help him with his contracts and processing his claims and deposits and stuff, and if he gets in a bind. So that position could be too. We could loan them out, you know, to somebody. And I think that the benefit of the auditor's office is you are exposed to everything, you know, purchase orders and contracts and board agendas and that kind of stuff. And and so they'll, like, you know, kind of man the counter. When I first started at the auditor's office, we had that position, like I think it was a fiscal assistant, but we got rid of that position or whatever. But yeah, so that I'm kind of excited about that and just being able to help the other departments, you know, in need. And I want the 1-2-3, because if it ends up that they stay there, you know, then I can train them up and possibly use them to, you know, staff my office too. So I have to give a huge shout out to Bob Cummings. I could not have done any of this without him. He's been there for 17 years now, and he's just really stepped up, and we bounce things off of each other, and he's super good at training the other staff, and he's really, you know, positive, and he's a rock star. I just have to give him a lot of kudos for sticking it out. I'm sure you guys heard about the banner updates. So this month we did, it was the biggest banner update since 2013. And in that, we switched servers as well. So we've had a lot of hiccups. In the past, my predecessor worked with staff at Aleutian, which owns Banner, and they did a lot of custom processes, which nobody at our central IT is still there that knows about them, and nobody at Banner is there. So we just kind of had to fly blind and do these updates and then see what custom process broke in the meantime. So we're still working through that, like the print jobs and the C4. We were offline for C4 for a while, which was very concerning, but we've got that back up to they patched it. And so we have a contract in place that I want to thank Sarah and Trish Barbieri for funding that contract. To have somebody at Banner rebuild the C4 process. where we get the C4 file from the state. We have to run it through this special customized script so that it can be put into Banner, and then we can send the script to the bank so that when these people come in and cash their checks at the bank, there's information there. So that's been a huge process. So we have a contract in place, and Banner's going to work with us and Central IT to get that. I don't know if anybody, I've learned more about programming and IT in the last month. They're running off of Perl scripts, which Perl is a, like, I don't know if you've heard of DOS. It's an old, unsupported program. And so we need to rebuild those scripts to current computer language so that they can be supported by, you know, Banner support and by our IT support. We also are going to enter into a contract for those, specifically for those other customized scripts. There's some payroll scripts. We are the only county in California that uses Banner, and Banner is typically for the school system, colleges and stuff. And so we have Classic and PEPRA CalPERS members, and so there's certain things that one gets one and one gets the other, so we have to have a script that will run and put that flow, make payroll flow. That's not working right now, so we're going to put another contract in place to get all these other custom scripts. There's one for interest allocation that we're using a power user program that's obsolete, so they're going to work with us and get that into something more updated and supported. Having said that, we're going to put out an RFP for a new financial system. I'm going to be honest and say that I am not in a position to spend the amount of time right now, so it's going to be a process that's going to probably be over several years. Like, I feel like my staff and I have to get our feet underneath us and figure out what is happening and what our system is doing automatically and what we're supposed to be doing, you know, not even having to do with the financial, like the reports that we're supposed to be filing and the timeline. And, you know, we were able to get W-2s out and 1099s, which was tricky because that was in the middle of this whole update or whatever. So I feel like I need to get my feet underneath me before I can commit the amount of time that it is going to take to switch financials. But we want to get it in place. Like, we want to put an RFP out there and see who's interested and what they can offer us. I've sent out several emails, you know, inquiring what other counties use and what they like, what they don't like. So just kind of starting the research process. It's not going to happen, you know, fast, but we want to get it started because I think it is going to be, you know, whoever we choose, or they're going to have to come in and do some research too as to how we're utilizing the system to support our payroll and our needs or whatever. So
do it a bunch of times, see how that plays out for you.
I've reached out to the other counties to see, like, do you use Kronos and how does that, there's an interface between Kronos, like in Banner right now, we do all the updates in Banner, the position control forms and the PAFs and the new hires and the retirees and the fire and the resignations, and so we do all that in Banner, and then we interface that into Kronos. Then the departments do their, you know, payroll in Kronos, and then we interface that back into Banner. So it's a huge process, you know, and so we need to know, is this new system going to be able to do that, you know? Or, you know, we even talked about, is the new system going to have time tracking built in it, you know, so that we won't have to do that interface. So there's going to be a lot of research and a lot of decisions, and which I'm sure that once we get there, we'll come back and, you know, I'd like to come back and do a presentation and, you know, have whatever financial system or company that we, you know, decide to go with come in and explain everything. So the other thing that we've been working on is the disasters and the fires and the CDAA claiming and FEMA claiming. I think that there was no collaboration before between the auditor's office and the OES CAO to try to make this, you know, to try to recoup some of our costs, you know, as much as we possibly can. So I've been working with Brian and the CAO's office and just trying to get the claiming under our belt for the McKinney and the mill. And once we get that done, you know, get a process, like who's going to do what and who's going to be responsible for what and come together. Because it is pretty daunting. Like, I think some of the spreadsheets that the auditor's office has in place to track is way more convoluted than what we need. And it contains way more information than what FEMA and what CDAA actually requires of us. So I would like to, you know, get through this first two fires claiming process and really hone down on what we need from them, you know, in order to recoup some of our money. We are working with Rick Dean at Community Development. So the auditor's office is gonna take over the insurance debris reimbursements, the collection of that and the mitigation of that, like calling the insurance companies, calling the people, getting the documents signed and collecting that money so that when the state comes back and asks for it, you know, we have it audited and reconciled and ready to go. And then lastly, I'd just like to thank everybody, all the departments, staff, for their patience when we've in this transition at the auditor's office. It's been a great transition. It's been positive, and I enjoy working with other departments, and I enjoy being able to help out as much as possible. But there has been some hiccups. You know, payroll has been, you know, very daunting. Banner has, you know, people aren't being able to print the deposits, you know, that kind of stuff. Jennifer Taylor, the tax collector, I mean, she's been awesome to work with, you know, training my staff, and sometimes we're out of balance at the end of the day, and we've been able to come together and, you know, collaborate and say what works for you guys, what works for us. So that's been good, but there has been a lot of compassion and patience, and especially because we're all, you know, learning something new. My staff is all new, and you know, we lost that historical knowledge, so that makes it tough. But every day is a triumph. Like, we conquer something every day, and so that's kind of nice too. It gives you a reason to come back tomorrow. My one thing that I look to the future for is I would like us to become less siloed and less departmentalized, less cut off from each other, like more trusting, more like reaching out for help. Like, hey, can I need help on this? And I think we've kind of gotten away with that from that. And so more like streamlined processes. So we all use the same contract process. We all use the same purchase order process. Each individual department, I mean, each department is different and they have their own needs, but I would like to become more streamlined so, you know, we can do some cross-training and, you know, the auditor's office can, when a department is in a bind, we can step in and help them out and vice versa, you know. A lot of the ASMs are trained in payroll and they're trained in contracts, and so if a department gets in a bind, you know, another department that may be, you know, less stressed or less busy can step in and help out and just kind of nurture that. You know, we all work for the same company. We, even though we're only as strong as our weakest link. So, you know, if a department is struggling. We basically, we all struggle. You know, we're not getting the information that we need in time to do the state and the Fed reporting. And so what can I do to help you out? Or can I help you streamline your, you know, let me give you some suggestions. Can I help you streamline your process so that the next time it flows better and easier? So it makes life better on everybody, because it is stressful. I mean, every department has their own stresses, and so the more that we can mitigate that, and the auditor's office would like to help out. So that's all I have. If you have any questions.
Any questions from the board? Thank you.
Just a quick comment. Thank you for all you're doing. And I realize that some of it may be a little selfish on your part, especially with building up your department. That's great that you're doing that. And I also just wanted to comment that C4 is explosives, and that just instantly came to my mind, is that just sounds ridiculous what you're trying to do. So kudos to you for trying to pull all that off. So go get them. You're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been what? About a year, a little over
a year.
It's been a little over
a year.
And I mean, I didn't expect, you know, it to turn over in a month. But from what I'm hearing, it's very positive. And I mean, even with the update that you said today, it's been 10 years since an update. And you're just, I mean, I go squirrely when I get a Windows update and everything shuts down. And I can't even imagine a 10-year update.
And you have to change your password.
Yeah. Anyway, how are we doing on accounts payable? We seem to have, I think you're doing fine, but I just want to kind of get it out in the public realm, because local vendors had trouble dealing with the county because we were so far behind in paying our bills. Have we improved on that? Is there a light at the end of that tunnel?
Yeah, immensely. I think I checked yesterday and we had 453 invoices that we had left to be paid, which that's, you know, they come into the office and we have to hold them for 72 hours, you know, legislatively, whatever. And so, yeah, that has gotten down. I don't know the exact days, you know.
Fine.
I know that they used to report on that, but I'm not sure the exact days. I do know that we've reached out to departments. I know that Sarah's office, sometimes they have emergency stuff, you know, somebody's rent needs to be paid or there's a loan payment that got missed. And so we're working really closely to stay within legislation, but to get those payments out to them as soon as possible. And I encourage any department, if you're having a problem, you know, or if you get in a bind, I mean, we all forget things. And so, or things get, you know, shoved to the side. And so reach out to us, because we can help you. We can get it in the next check run. We're not, you know, above, as long as we're in the rules and regulations. But so that is, I know when I first got in there, I think it was it 20 days? I think there was nothing was going to be.
If it was 20 days.
But I mean, that was the rule. Like nothing was even going to be looked at within 20 days.
Okay.
And now we're, we're fully staffed. I've got three, I had a account specialist that was there before come back. And so she's very experienced, and she wasn't there during the electronic AP process, but she's caught on good. And then I've got two other ones that have been there the majority of the time. And then Nick is the manager. And so there's five of them that are working on processing, you know, the contracts and the purchase orders and the claims. So we are getting less pushback, like less people are calling, but I encourage them to give us a call and let us know.
And then with regard to a new financial system, couldn't applaud you more for that. I know that's not going to happen overnight as well, but I think Supervisor Valenzuela and myself, for as long as we've been on this board, it's been a nightmare with the banner, I'll just put it that way. Because of the customization, and even when we did Kronos, it was like pulling teeth. I mean, the departments didn't want to come along, and it was almost like you had to force them into it. And at any rate, I appreciate any streamlining that you can do across the county family, that ultimately saves general tax dollars in some form down the road. So
yeah.
I couldn't applaud you more for all that you're doing. Thank you, you and your staff.
And if I could just piggyback on that, so thank you for bringing that forward. I think, as Supervisor Cops have said, banners for us has always been a source of headaches. I think the hesitation has always been what the cost is going to be. So, you know, I look forward to seeing. It's going to come back to us. I mean, we're going to take a short-term hit fiscally, but long-term, hopefully, it's going to save us time and money. The other question, how many people do you have under you, need you in your department?
What we have 15
now. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I think the other question, going back to accounts payable for, and I'm talking about the outside people, vendors, there was always this word, people didn't want to do business because they weren't getting paid in a timely fashion.
Right.
So I would like a little bit more definitive. You can send us in an email
to
the board. You know, what's the timeline for an average person, average vendor does X amount of work that he can get paid? Because I think the perception was it was taking months.
Months. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it, whatever the criteria is, I just would like to know that. Someday.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go on to item 7B, Community Development Office of Emergency Services. Mr. Dean.
Good morning, Rick Dean, Community Development Director. First of all, I want to share my appreciation for the Auditor's Office. Diane and her team have been a pleasure to work with, positive, path to yes instead of barriers to no. I'm here for is to extend the Health Office Proclamation for debris removal associated with the Mill and McKinney and Mountain fires. This has been before you before. Hopefully this will be the last time. We recommend that it be extended. We have 16 remaining properties to clean up, and the goal is to have it done by the end of this month.
Move to extend.
Second.
Okay, Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure. Thank you. Okay, before we get to item C, Mr. Dean, do you want to do 8B first? Do you want to hear that piece to it, or do you want to go ahead and do 7C now?
Let's just move forward with 7C at this time.
Okay. Continue on.
Okay. This is regarding basically the governor's order for drought and essentially putting restrictions on well permitting. So we have developed draft guidelines that we would like to take forward to get further review from the GSA advisory committees and then come back to you with the final on that. So we can get input from each basin and so forth and modify a few things. We have basically, just to give you a quick outline of it, on page 14 of our report there, it's up on the screen right now, is a flow path essentially for the permitting process. It's going to require quite a bit of review from the Natural Resources Department and also Environmental Health. With this, it will be costs associated with it and so forth. So basically, these are geared for wells that are utilizing more than 2 acre feet of groundwater production, right? They have to go through this additional review. First step is to make sure that it's compatible with the GSPs. And so we go to Matt Parker's office to do that review. And once that determination is made, depending on what basin it is in, it may need to go to further review for the public trust doctrine also. And then lastly, would come through the Environmental Health Department for review as far as impacts to adjacent wells. And for that, at this time, we're proposing that a letter be provided by a professional geologist with a certification in hydrology to provide that at the expense of the applicant. So I don't want to get too far in the weeds. You can look at the draft there. The other key points that we're looking at bringing into this is an indemnification agreement associated with these larger wells that would not apply to our domestic well process. And that is pretty much what we'll be taking to the GSA advisory committees, if you so wish.
Okay, let's get some board comment. Supervisor Hal?
A couple things. I have a question on the declaration that's in here for domestic wealth. It's a declared use declaration. Thou shalt not basically use it for any more than domestic use.
Within the governor's order, or
no? It's one of your attachments here. Giving a proposal to get a permit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
My question is: is that going to be followed up with code, or how's that enforceable?
I'm sorry. Repeat, please.
Is that going to be followed up with code, or how will that be enforceable?
It's basically going to be a statement from the well owner, you know, subject to perjury. But, you know, at this point, we're not going to be going out there and policing every well. You know, if it's for a domestic purpose, it makes sense. If single family dwelling, the use coincides with the situation, I think that, you know, if it's outside that box, we will question it at the time that it was submitted. Yeah, you're referring to Exhibit A.
Yeah, I'm not looking to police from the standpoint of inspecting wells, but I'm only looking down the road to have someone from outside the county might challenge us that we're not administering this properly. That was my own comment on that.
Okay.
I don't like indemnity agreements, just off the top, but I'm glad this is going back to the GSA's comment, see what the general consensus is here, because to me, an indemnity agreement for the average person in my district who might have a small ranch is pretty much a nullification of their ability to develop a well. Just don't have the financial ability to do that. A caution is that when this does go back to the GSAs for comment, my caution is not only to them, but it's the staff as well. I'm looking at the public trust doctrine. I'm also looking at slippery slope here, whether or not we're exceeding the threshold of what substantially impaired means. Substantially doesn't mean any effect. And that's what I'm afraid the standard is that we're going to be held to. I don't know how to get around that, but there, you know, to be substantially impaired, it has to be a noticeable change in the conditions. There's a downgrade. And quite frankly, with our models, I don't even think we can prove that with our models. You know, the UC Davis models that we have in place. So it's just a caution going forward. I've seen this slippery slope before, and once we put this in print, it will become the standard, and we'll see it again later on.
Yeah. Agreed. It's a difficult thing to navigate.
Sure. Especially when the court hasn't defined what substantially impaired is.
Yeah.
And I can't find it in the law dictionary either.
Right. And, you know, the original piece for the public trust doctrine is for us to consider, you know.
Correct. It's not completely avoid.
Yeah.
But that might appear to most the route we're going down.
I too have difficulty with the indemnification. We just hear today on consent overturned, or a judge overturned an EIR that was indemnified to the county, and I'm sure that the cost is over $1 million for the Crystal Geyser EIR, if not more, besides the project itself. So I don't know how anybody's going to meet that standard. Secondly. I'm most concerned, and I'm glad, you know, I support this going back to the advisory committees to get their input. But I'm most concerned with the curtailments and the drying up of the watershed and affecting the groundwater supply that in turn to trigger something within what we're going to deal with here. If there was something that affected the water but wasn't able to be recharged, how are we going to deal with that when, in effect, it's man-made at that point? If we're going away from the regime that the water regime that we've had for 100 years or more, and if we're drying it up, and then it's going to affect the groundwater basin itself. How do we account for that? Because at that point, it's we can be in a drought, but we're taking all the water off the landscape and then throwing it downstream, and that's a concern for me with regard to how we're going to meet sustainability. That's it.
Supervisor Roper.
I think anything we do is up for grabs legally. Indemnify, having people indemnify, that's going to be up to them to decide on an individual basis. And everything we're doing now scientifically depends totally on climate and what our climate is doing, and we have no way to know moving into the future what that's going to be. We have no control over that. So our decisions now are strictly guesswork as to what's going to happen in the future. Yes, I support moving forward, sending this back to the GSAs to make those decisions too, because it kind of takes it off of our shoulders. But this science is just so tricky. And it is just that, science, and a little bit of guesswork. So, I don't know. It is a slippery slope. I'll just leave it there.
So, Mr. Chris?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. questions. The attachment three, the outlay and everything, I think it's a very good bare bones approach. It lays it out for the GSAs to come back and give us, I think there's work well done, putting all those thoughts down up on one page, group edits, which are always difficult to do for group edits, but having it down there and then sending it back to all the GSAs for their put more meat on that and their comments and local knowledge. Each valley kind of has its own little separation. In regards to maybe this question for Mr. Parker and Mr. Dean, for the Two Lake sub-basin, 118 basin, would this be sent to them also for review? I'm sorry I didn't ask this question on high command, I'm putting you on the spot, but would this be sent to them for also review?
Yes, then we'll send it to the GSA as well.
Perfect, all right. Maybe you have to come all the way up here.
That's
all
right.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
I'll be close.
I have no more questions for you right now, so you can see, yeah. So that's where I'm at, is we, the rest of my comments will be when we have this under flood control next agenda topic, I believe. But this is good meat to look into, and we'll get feedback from all GSAs. I just advise the GSAs that, actual stakeholders, those that are actually impacted, Beach Valley, those are those things to take into consideration. You know, a loud voice, you don't want a loud voice, whether in the valley or anything, to steer things sideways from the overall intent of what people want to have for the benefit of the environment as well as sustainable groundwater.
All right, Mr. Dean, thank you. I do think that we should go back to the GSAs for input because they're the ones that are the most affected by this. I think we're all going to struggle with when it comes to the indemnity. The county can't take that risk. I mean, we've already paid out gazillions of dollars fighting the elf lawsuit. All that stuff. So we're going to have a tough road to hoe when it comes to that. I don't know what the fix and the workaround is, but certainly I want not just me making the decision, but the input from the people that are most affected. So I support going back to that.
I have one more ask. To help me understand the magnitude of what we're talking about, it would sure be helpful you have the modelers in another presentation. What I want to know is I want to know the sensitivity of the model. I want to know if you turn off one well, one production well, whether or not there's an effect and what the correlation is with that statistically in that model.
Yeah, we can find a way to make that happen.
We're going to go to public comment.
Hannah? Okay. Chair, before you, just through the record, I want to express that we have not issued any ag or production well permits since March of 2022, and don't want to go there until we have this in place, right, to protect the county and support them. And obviously, the indemnification agreement will be more for these more contentious wells and so forth, kind of along the lines of CEQA and the planning department that's already in place. It's all the balance of risk for the county.
Yeah, it's always going to be a risk reward balance.
I'm just trying to quantify significance based on sensitivity of what we're using to predict that.
Nick Johnson, it's your turn to speak.
Hi, Nick. I'm living in Mount Shasta, California. I'd just like to thank you all for putting the time to keep moving this forward. I think it's an important topic and really pretty important for a lot of citizens in the county. Just wanted to point out a couple added concerns that I have. I think when we talk about groundwater without mentioning surface water, we're gonna end up in a situation where we sort of end up pitting groundwater users against surface water users, since in the Scott and Shasta particularly, the ground and surface waters are interconnected. And so it is important to note that we shouldn't just be remarking whether a production well affects a domestic well. We should be concerned about whether that production well affects surface water, which is also gonna affect surface water users. And so I think going forward, having the GSA, which has some broader representation, it's going to be important to hear how surface water users feel about this and how they can be assured that their rights will not be affected by production wells. Thanks.
Thank you. My question is probably similar to Supervisor Chris's comment and question in regards to the Tule Lake Subbasin. If this were to move forward, is it going to be initiated by subbasin or by county? And my question really goes to the point of part of the Tule Lake Subbasin being in Modoc County.
Yeah. Mr. Bennett, Rick Dean, Community Development Director. We're going to be going back to all the GSAs, including Tule Lake, for input. I think ultimately it's a countywide permitting process, but potentially we can work out different variants between the needs of each sub-basin and their characteristics. But we'll go to the GSAs and have those conversations. Hopefully you can participate there.
Thank you, Rick. Yeah.
Angelina Cook, it's your turn to speak.
Good morning. Thank you. It's Angelina Cook from McLeod. I just wanted to also thank you for taking on this difficult decision. It seems like it is best for the GSAs to weigh in on the adoption of a longer-term ordinance that could affect water withdrawals in the county. I just wanted to, for clarification, once the So I have one comment and one item for clarification. I just want to make sure that once the GSAs weigh in on this adoption of this ordinance, will it go back to the Board of Supervisors to adopt it? That was my question. And then my comment, I just wanted to acknowledge what Supervisor Ogren mentioned about the uncertainty of water supply reliability under our changing climate conditions. And it seems like with a subject as crucial as water, this is a really good time for Siskiyou County to err on the side of precaution. And if we don't know what our snowpack is going or precipitation is going to be doing in the future, it seems like adopting the precautionary principle and, you know, really kind of moving into a new phase of conservation where water conservation is taken seriously by all users, not just ag, but including ag, that is going to be the best way to protect property rights and needed water supplies for farms, the rivers, and our communities. So thank you. And if you could confirm the question about when this board might be finalizing their decision on the adoption of this ordinance, that would be helpful.
Okay, for clarification, once we go through the review process and bring it back to the board, it will be in the form of a resolution, basically approving the proposed guidelines for the permitting process. And timeline for that, I can only speculate on. Estimate probably 2 to 3 months from now.
Thank you, Rick. Anyone in house have a, you need to fill out a card, but come on up.
Want me to fill it out now?
You can do it afterwards, please. You know the rules.
Sorry. I'm Theo Johnson. My question was, it looks like this is tied to the during this drought emergency. So I'm just wondering if anything changes once the drought emergency is over, according to the governor. I know there's the public trust aspect of it that is more of a long-term situation, but is there anything that changes with this after the drought emergency goes away? Do you come back to this permitting process and reassess and tweak it, or that's my main question for you.
Rick, give us your best thoughts on that, please.
Yes, Ms. Johnson, it's built into our guidelines right now. That it's primarily subject to the governor's order. If and when the conditions change and the governor's order goes away, then the bulk of this permitting process, the exception of the public trust doctrine, would fade away.
I would just say generically, we're always responding to things that are outside of our control. Take the state regulations, we do the best we can with what we got. Everything will always be revisited. Any other in-house comments? Board's wishes? This could go back then with staff recommendation to the GSAs?
I'll make the recommended motion.
I'll second it. Yeah, so that.
And that's to share the draft groundwater well application processing guidelines with the county's GSAs.
Yep.
Thank you. Supervisor Help.
Yes.
Supervisor Kopsev. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
For sure. Okay.